What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and fresh off our updated tote board, which is now over $4 million, we are proud to say. And we still have an hour to go before we go off the air. So let's get that up to 4.1, 4.2. Keep giving, please. We're joined here now by the Kelleher family. Allie is joining us. She is a breast cancer survivor from Swampscott. And Dr. Hal Bernstein, an oncologist, breast oncologist from Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And your whole family, you guys are getting ready for the game tonight. Because, Allie, you just told us you're throwing out the first pitch.
I am.
Are we... We feeling good about that?
We feel good. It's going to be a strike.
Have you seen social media? If it goes wrong, it tends to spread very, very
quickly. It lives.
Have you ever seen 50 Cent throw a...
Yeah, it goes viral.
It goes viral. If you get it close to the plate, you'll be okay.
Yeah, just close. Just don't be really bad. It doesn't have to be good. But there was one a couple of years ago. I don't remember. The cameraman got hit in a sensitive region.
Mm-hmm.
That tend to spread really quickly.
Yeah.
So, and you've practiced with your sons?
Yeah, they coached me in the backyard a couple of days ago. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. That should be enjoyable, should be fun. Tell us a little bit about your journey and what brought you here, actually.
Yeah, so I turned 40 this year in October and just went to my first routine mammogram in November, to which I was called back. And they found what's called DCIS, and that's where I met Dr. Bernstein, and that's where my story begins. Unfortunately, after having surgery, sort of as routine protocol, they send everything out after you get the surgery and check your lymph nodes, et cetera, and there they had found that it had spread. And so then I went on to have chemo and radiation, and just finished radiation a couple weeks ago.
That's fantastic.
So, thank you.
That's amazing. If you could just raise your microphone up a little bit as well.
There we go.
Thank you.
Help her with the cord.
Thank you. Now we got it. I've never done this before.
I know. And you're doing great.
Hey, listen, if you throw a first pitch like you interviewed tonight, it's going to be right down Broadway.
So. All right.
And what was the first experience like with Dana-Farber and Jimmy Fund for you?
Pretty amazing, actually. I said to my husband, the worst part about it is the unknown. And as soon as I actually got a phone call from Dr. Bernstein, when I was at home and I got off that call and I was like, all right, I feel confident in this. I know I can tackle whatever he brings my way, because I felt like he was confident in it. And, immediately just felt like there was a really secure plan, which for me just felt really great. And I think it was all right, tell me how to get from A to B. And he had the answers. And so that was really great.
Dr. Bernstein, you look at your kind of resume. It's you got a Hall of Fame resume. So you're the best of the best of the best. It sounds like in this field. There's no one better to ask these questions than you. How common is it to see cancer in someone as young as Allie here?
Well, Allie really helped herself by going for a mammogram at age 40, and that's the current standard. We would encourage all women to seek out that kind of evaluation because early detection is the key to cure. And for Allie, she's going to have a great prognosis moving forward because they caught this early. She's going to get excellent treatment and do really well. So it's a really important thing. We do see more and more women in their early 40s getting diagnosed with breast cancer now. You've probably heard that there are other cancers which are also becoming more common in younger people, including lung cancer. Cancer and colon cancer. It's not exactly clear why that's happening, but it's something that younger people have to be more aware of than they used to be. It used to be you thought, well, cancer, that's kind of for old folks, and that's just not the story anymore.
Dr. Bernstein, one of the themes we've heard from a lot of our guests is sort of that trust relationship. When you go to the Dana-Farber, you know you're at the place where there's some of the best in the world, and you trust that plan. But for you as a doctor, that's going to be a great feeling, but also there's some pressure there to make sure you live up to that trust. Is that fair to say?
Well, it is, but it's a really special place, you know, and I think if you come to a place like Fenway Park and you see everybody's working together on the team and they have outstanding people in every position, that's what it's like to be at the Dana-Farber. You know that the surgeons and the radiation oncologists and the medical genetics people and all the team that works together with nursing and social work and everybody is just world class. And that's what makes being a professional there so extraordinary, and I think it makes for great patient care.
So, Allie, unfortunately, there was a little history of cancer in the family for you as well, and that your brother, Zach, has been doing well. He also was treated at Dana-Farber, so obviously this is a whole family affair. And he is trying to inspire people to feel better, get better, get treatment, et cetera. And also, you've taken to, I'm reading, golf. And yeah. That now you're hosting tournaments to raise money for this as well. You guys are powerhouses.
I came fresh off the course today.
You did?
Yes.
You had that go.
I didn't bring the win home. It was great. It was really fun. Yeah, I participated in a tournament called Swing for Pink this morning.
Yeah.
I think we had maybe 126-ish women participating. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
Golf is a recent kind of new phenomenon for you. You
just very recent.
You picked up the game recently, and now you can't get enough of it.
I can't get enough of it.
What is it? Because I love the game. I suck at it, but I love the game. What is it about the game that it just keeps bringing you back?
I think it's fun. You know, it started as like a social thing for me, my sister-in-law, my brother's wife. We play a lot. And it's a challenge, you know, just like anything. So, yeah, it's fun, but you can't beat...
Fellowship's fun, right? With your friends. And
supposed to lower your stress levels right now.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. Well, I felt like going through treatment, like that was sort of my goal each good week, that I felt okay. You know, I was like, I'm going to try and get out for 9. Yeah. So,
Dr. Burstein, obviously we're here raising a lot of money, and we're up over $4 million. In your area of expertise, why is that money important? Where is it going?
Well, we use a lot of these resources to support clinical trials, which move the field forward. So clinical trials are really the engine that drives progress in oncology and every medical specialty. And Allie's going to be getting the benefit of this. There are some medicines that were approved just a year or two ago that she's going to be receiving as part of her treatment plan. And that's true for so many of our patients. One of the amazing things about being a cancer doctor in recent years is we are seeing real-time innovation happen in the clinics. This is not some like pipe dream about 20 years from now. We're seeing month to month, year to year, drugs approved, clinical trials releasing powerful results and directly impacting the care of our patients. So that's the kind of work that is supported by the funds that are generated here, as well as lots of other enrichment activities that really make it so much easier for our patients to cope with the diagnosis of cancer and obviously get as much support as we can for them.
And it seems one of the prevailing theories, or rather common themes of these 2 days for us, Dr. Burstein, is early screening.
Yeah.
You know, get your colonoscopy as soon as you're eligible. Get your mammogram when you can. If something looks discolored on your skin or your doctor says, go in every 6 months or every year to get your moles checked or whatever, don't just blow it off and like, oh, I'm sure I'm fine. Do it.
Absolutely. And some of the greatest progress we've made in actually reducing mortality from cancer are in those tumors where we have screening. So breast cancer, colon cancer, cervical cancer, skin cancers, so important. And if you care about someone who has cancer, people often say, what can I do to help? And what can I do to, you know, make things better? Obviously, bring them a lasagna, bring them all the treats that you can, but also take the lesson and go and seek out that kind of early detection on your own. You've probably heard about some of the very fancy molecular programs that are going on at Dana-Farber to do that for some more other kinds of tumors, and those are obviously going to be very exciting in the future. But there's a lot people can do today to facilitate early detection, and there's no better way to honor a cancer patient you know, a friend who's dealing with this diagnosis, than to seek out that kind of help.
Dr. Burstein, we thank you for stopping by. The Kelleher family, led by Allie, who will be throwing the first pitch out tonight. So if you're coming to the game, give her a big round of applause and support. She'll be out there on the mound. She's prepared. Her boys helped her prepare.
Ready. Yeah.
So she's ready. Good luck out there tonight. Thank you.
Great.
Appreciate
you. Thank you.
Let's hope no one's yelling four after you throw the
right.
pitch.
Coming up on WEEI Afternoons here at the Jimmy Fund Telethon at Fenway Park, we will continue to have our guests, and that will include Craig Breslow, the man behind the trade deadline moves and the Boston Red Sox that are surging toward the postseason. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons, but first, Dan Ball.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots. He scores.
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All has what's trending. WEEI Afternoons here live at Fenway Park. WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Telethon, where we are over $4 million raised for the Jimmy Fund and Dana Farber. And it's because we've had such great guests telling their stories to listeners who have been generous with their dollars. And our next great guest, talking lifting off air with Ted Johnson, getting some tips. They were talking about workout routines, maybe a little water workout, things of that nature. Tony Rose, 75, is a kidney cancer patient from Wenham with his wife Joanne, his daughter Emily, and his son Nick. Welcome, guys. How are we doing?
Good. Thank you for having us.
So, Tony, did you like the tips you were getting from Ted?
Sure. I'm not going to say no. I'm not that foolish.
Like 3 or 4 months, you can look just like Ted.
He'll walk out and go, Joanne, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
So, tell us a little bit of where your journey started, how your diagnosis came about.
Well, in December of 2020, or in all the spring of 2020, I had this persistent cough. And it got progressively worse and worse. And then, but because of the COVID rules, you couldn't go to a doctor's office. So I had to call my primary care, and they would have to call to get me into a clinic. So I called in November, and they said, we don't think you're worthy coming in. So then 3 weeks later, I coughed up some blood, which if you watch enough TV shows, you know that that's not good. So I ended up going to the clinic, and then they didn't let me drive anymore. They put me in an ambulance and whipped me over to hospital and did some testing, and then they found out I had cancer in my lungs. And then after a couple of days of testing, they found out it wasn't lung cancer, but it was originating something someplace else. So they did a CAT scan, and they found out it was in my kidney, and it was just starting to get into one of my lymph nodes. So with that diagnosis, my primary care got all the information, and she arranged to have two interviews with different hospitals, one locally and Dana-Farber. So I went to the local one first, and you know, he was pretty straightforward. He said, you know, you've got about 8 months to go, and he said maybe I can stretch it another 4 or 5, but I'm not sure. And so. And the hard part about it was I was seeing him by myself, and Joanne and the kids were out in the car, and so I had to listen to this over
COVID.
Yeah, and we're doing it on the speakerphone in the cell, so it had to be really tough on them too.
Wow.
And then 2 weeks later, we went to the Dana-Farber and he met Dr. Hsu, and he didn't promise me anything, but he said we're going to try to make you well, and the fact of giving you hope was such a great weapon. That it really became an easy choice to come into Boston. One of the advantages of having cancer during COVID is there's no traffic in Boston. So
yeah. Yeah. There you go.
So our 25 mile drive, which is usually over an hour, took 35 minutes, yeah. which was wonderful. The bad parts were it was a lot of isolation, a lot of mask wearing, hand sanitizer every time I looked around, and it was just. That was one of the downsides. I had a very intense immunotherapy protocol that had just been approved about 2 years before. And as I have a list of thank yous, this is my first thank you. I'd like to thank the people who contributed to these Jimmy Fund benefits 8 to 10 years ago, because the money that they gave contributed to the immunotherapy being developed and approved by the FDC about a year and a half before they started giving it to me. Wow. Even now, they still don't have enough data on what I'm taking to even tell me how it works or why it worked on me or didn't work on other people's. The other thing about my immunotherapy, the good part is it worked on me. The bad part is where it only works on 1 out of 6, and I was the one. My primary care is also a researcher, obviously, and is my primary oncologist. And what he's trying to do now is to do a test where they can give this protocol to people, and after one test, if they can perfect the test, they can tell whether it still works and they should continue, or they can use another type of...
That'd be big.
Yeah. So that's what he's working on. That's what the money will go to from this thing when it gets approved.
I didn't know if you have any more thank yous. Are you good on that?
Oh, I got plenty of thank yous. But.
Okay. Well, if it's okay, Tom, can I ask Nick, what was this like to hear your dad get this diagnosis and the beginning of it to where you are now? The tumors are cleared?
I've been clear since the day after my 22nd birthday when he took the kidney out.
Okay. Nick, how's it been for you, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, when you hear the word stage 4 cancer, you know, you think the worst. I think, you know, my dad, like you mentioned, you know, spoke to a number of oncologists and doctors around the area. And, you know, we had a conversation after all the interviews and reviews. And, you know, the one thing I said to him was, you know, when you think of cancer treatment, what's the name you think of? And you said Dana-Farber. And so I was like, I don't want to make the decision for you, but I think you have made that decision for you. And I'm glad, I'm really glad that he did. So.
And Joanne, could you tell us a little bit about how Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund, how the treatment that they gave you guys, the whole family as well, and what they made this experience, which especially at such a difficult time, was like for you all?
It was difficult because I couldn't be there. I was there for the first appointment, but after that I couldn't go to his appointments. So I would drive him in. I would go down around the corner. There's a park or something in Boston, and I would sit and read my book and wait till he called. Or I would drive him in, drive back home, drive back in, the same day, because his appointments might be longer or not. But everybody, after all that, and now, even going now, everyone there is just the best. The nurses, the lab technicians, Dr. Hsu, we can't say enough about.
Right.
He is tremendous. So incredible, and we are so thankful for him. I just urge everybody to donate because it is a worthy cause. Everyone probably knows somebody that has cancer. And you should come here. Dana-Farber is the place to be.
Dana-Farber is the place to be. Well said. So, Tony, where are we now in our treatments and long term?
Well, after about 8 months, the tumors in my lungs and the lymph node disappeared. That's how strong the immunotherapy was working. And the unfortunate part is the tumors on my kidneys, I had two tumors on my kidney. They were so big that a lot of the cancer cells got killed, but they formed a crust on the outside, so they were still alive on the inside. So they had to take my kidney, they took my left kidney out. That was on the day after my 22nd birthday, actually. My 72nd birthday.
20 seconds.
Yeah. 20 seconds, not bad.
No, 20.
72nd.
Yeah,
it was 22. Yeah. It turned 22. But and then I, as part of the program, was every 3 months I was taking CT scans to find progress of how things are going and everything. And I took 3 more months of CT scans after, 3 months after my operation, they found blood clots in my lung. So then I had to go through a whole other process of things, and still I'm taking medication to control that. And I was we stayed on a 3-month protocol of CT scans for 2 full years. Then I graduated to 4-month scans, and after my last meeting with Dr. Hsu, they put me on a 6-month protocol. So that's a little bit stretching out, so I'm a little bit better off. And I would like to thank Dave at the CT place. He's incredible. He was...
CT Dave.
Yeah, CT Dave was
great. The family
great.
Knows Dave.
Yeah, he's just a wonderful guy. And we would go on Saturday mornings, and there weren't many people there, and so he was always there. So it's very comforting to know that he was there. Also, the immunotherapy nurses were tremendous. I mean, everyone is very positive, very helpful. The first immunotherapy nurse I met, her name was Jackie. And... The immunotherapy that they gave me was a dose of one and a dose of another at the same time. And it took a while. and she was very positive. It was at the end of January, and I was a little apprehensive. And she sort of picked up on that because she knew it was my first time. And we started to, it was the end of January, so we started talking about the Super Bowl. And not so much the game, but what we would do to prepare for the Super Bowl. And she gave me a couple of recipes, and I gave her a recipe. And that, just that, it was very welcoming and very calming, and then helped me out. And then she was also there for all three of my doubles, I guess, if you like, would put it. And then it was a mixed rotation of everybody else. And every once I'd have her and everyone. But on my last immunotherapy, which was 4 months after my operation, she was there too. So she was a complete circle. Wow. Worked out really well. So she's tremendous. I also want to thank...
you want to thank your agent?
I don't have an agent yet, but I do want to thank one of my closest friends. We've been friends for over 60 years. We played baseball together in high school. I played first. He played third. When he found out I was sick, he called me. And he called me, and we talked for 15, 20 minutes. I couldn't do any more than that. And it became a ritual. And we talk to each other now every week. Sometimes it goes for an hour and a half. Sometimes it goes for an hour. We go out to eat probably two or three times a month. And it's his wife and Joanne and I. And it really helps. You get support from a lot of different places, and you take it wherever you can get it. And having a close friend like that really was a very, very important thing.
What was his name, Tony? You want to say it?
His last name? George Robes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks to Joe.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Obviously, my family is very supportive. Emily and her husband, Drew, and the kids, McKenna and Bennett, and Nick and his wife, Jennifer, and Addie and Ella. It's been very important to have them around. It really been very positive to me. When I got my first... I heard another guy talk earlier on the thing, talking about his goals when he found out his diagnosis.
Yep.
And my goal was to see all my kids graduate kindergarten. And we surpassed that already. Now going into this fall, the youngest is going to second grade. We have our second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade going on.
That's
so
awesome.
Now I'm pretending higher goals. I'm trying to get to high school graduation.
There we go.
We wish you luck. We appreciate you stopping by, thanking everybody. We've learned how much support matters. And Tony Rose and the entire Rose family, Joanne, appreciate you sharing your journey here with us, because it's important. We see the numbers that are coming in, over $4 million, and every little bit helps from the donors, but every little bit of information from the stories of all the patients really helps too, so we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we have the Chief Baseball Officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig Breslow. We're going to switch some microphones here. While we're at that, we do need to update you. We are over $4 million. That was our goal. We got a little time left, so every dollar counts. You can donate by calling 877-738-1234. You can go online to thejimmyfund.org, or you can text. This might be the easiest way for you. K-Cancer to 56512. We are hearing the stories about patients, their families, and the holistic approach that they take over at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and everything that goes into it. And every dollar matters. If you have a dollar, if you have five, it would be helpful to the patients, their families, the treatment, the research, everything. And now joining us, as I said, Craig Breslow. How are we doing tonight?
I am good.
Thank you. Comfortable?
Get comfortable. Relax,
never
man.
Never comfortable.
We're easy. We're a lot easier than that morning show. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Relax. Yeah. We're not. No one here is going to boo or
yeah.
Cheer.
Different environment. We're good.
Yeah. We're good.
Before we get into some of those discussions, you're obviously very well versed on with the Jimmy Fund. You're a player now. You're in management here.
You also grew up in the area.
You grew up in the area, so that you've lived a lifetime of what the Jimmy Fund, the Red Sox, that relationship means. Just explain what that does mean to you and to everybody.
Yeah, so cancer is something that has affected my family. My older sister was a childhood cancer survivor, and I know that I'm not unique in saying that cancer has affected us. But as a player, I think very, very early on in my career here, it was clear just how important this cause was. And I'll say it for as long as I'm asked. It was never a favor or a request of players. It was a privilege to participate in this. And there's just a different feel around the clubhouse and around the stadium for these couple of days, understanding just how meaningful this time is and the impact that players and the community can have on cancer patients and their families.
Are you, you see the players, I mean, the guys that, that are new to the team, it seems like they seem to embrace it right away. That's got to make you guys and everyone, you know, in the front office feel good that the players are actively participating in this, this fundraising event every year as well.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's not a question. And you understand the legacy and the Jimmy Fund captains and just how pervasive this cause has been to the Red Sox and a partnership that has, you know, lasted nearly 75 years, right? And so I think new players come in, they learn from players who have been here just how important this cause is. And like I said, players volunteer. This isn't one of those requests that comes along and you say, well, I've got other things to do. I need to prepare for my day. This is how can I help and when can I do it?
So, Craig, one of the things that has been a constant theme over the last couple of days has been the good vibes, good feelings that the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber provide for the patients and their families when they need it. In their darkest hours and at their most critical times. And that seemed, you know, the good vibes also seem to be rolling here through the stadium as well. And we've had a chance to speak to several different players across multiple day parts here over the 2 days of the telethon. And, you know, through the ups and the downs and the highs and lows, I got to say, there are some really energetic, electric people that are a part of this team right now. And they all keep saying the same thing. Something feels really good about this team. Do you still have your finger on that pulse? Do you feel that same something?
I think it is. There's this palpable effect that this dynamic athletic group of players has, and you see it, the way that it manifests on the field, and I think it's a really exciting brand of baseball that we're playing and that fans are getting to watch. But then you see the personalities when guys come and sit down here and talk, and you realize that it's not a facade, it's not an act, right? This is a group of players that genuinely care about each other. They care about the games on the field. They care about the impact that they can have on the community, and it's really fun to be around. It's really fun to watch.
You and Alex and Sam Kennedy have been consistent all year long, I feel like, saying we have a good baseball team. We're planning, preparing to play in the postseason. And right now, that's where you are. If it, you know, the old cliche, if the playoffs start today, you'd be in. There's a three-way tie for the wild card and all that, but it's not done. How much work is there to be done, even on your part? I know the trade deadline has passed, but, you know, we can watch games and say, oh, the bullpen might be a little leaky, as Lou Maloney said today in one of his videos. How does that work come about for you over the next month plus?
Yeah, a few things. So, right, we're constrained in terms of how we can add players given that the deadline has passed, but we feel like we've got a deep farm system and there are guys at the upper levels that are capable of helping us down the stretch. So we want to make sure that we're optimizing the roster, that our bullpen is always fresh, that if we're going to face a string of left-handed pitchers, we've got right-handed bats that are ready to step in. And so, you know, I think there's work to do from that regard to make sure that we're giving Alex and the team as many fresh pieces as we possibly can, as many like versatile and flexible pieces as we can to give ourselves the best chance of winning. And then there's support that we can offer in terms of information and advanced reports. And, you know, we're not going to be able to make wholesale changes to the roster or to players right now, but we can do everything possible to support them.
When the season started, you know, I was looking at the profile of this team, and I played on teams where it was the foundation was a lot of young guys, but there was like a really good mix of just older veterans around to kind of help young, you know, the young guys, you know, figure it out. It feels like, you know, when you look at your team versus the team you're playing tonight, the Orioles, it's like they got a lot of young guys, but they're missing maybe some of the older guys. I mean, when you were putting this team together before the season started, did you feel like, you know, like a Bregman, the impact he could have on the young guys, the Trevor Stories, the Chapmans, that those guys are so important in helping maybe kind of bring these young guys that you have on your team along? That's got to be part of your thinking, right, when you're putting a team together?
For sure. I mean, the best team that I ever played on was the 2013 Red Sox team here that, you know, had this improbable run to a World Series championship team, and it was a mix of young guys and established veterans. And I think if you fast forward, I guess, 12 years, you know, the ability for young players to thrive is all about the environment that gets created around them, right? An environment where they can be themselves, they can fit in, they can express themselves and play freely. And our veteran guys, guys like Bregman and Chapman and many others, have done such a great job of allowing, you know, Roman and Marcelo and Christian and Sedan and others to be themselves and allow their talent to come out. And we knew what Alex was capable of doing from watching him play across the field. But until you have him in the clubhouse and around young guys, you really don't get a full appreciation for what he brings. And Trevor was a guy that has, you know, a stellar reputation in the game, but unfortunately hadn't been healthy enough to really impact the young guys the way that he has been this year. And then, you know, Jaren Duran, as kind of the elder statesman in the outfield and taking some of those younger guys under his wing, and what Chapman and Justin Wilson have done in the bullpen. And then, you know, Garrett Crochet, despite the fact that he's, 26 years old, you know, he carries himself like a veteran, and he's the guy who pitches at the front of the rotation. So I think we do have this ideal mix of veteran leadership and young players who can come up and step into roles, and work toward them being prominent roles.
Two good starts in a row for Dustin May since you acquired him from the Dodgers. Unfortunately, didn't get the dub last night, but still an excellent start, quality start. Big one for Walker Buehler tonight as the rotation tries to figure itself out, hopefully on the way to the postseason. But I keep hearing good things about how Kyle Harrison is pitching, and people keep telling me, like, you're going to want to see this Toley kid come up and join the Sox because he's something else. Anything you could shed or as far as those guys go?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned guys that we have in the upper levels of the minor leagues, and I think depth, particularly on the pitching side, that maybe we haven't had in a couple of years, and you know, if needed, feel like they'd be able to step in and give our team a boost. Exactly what that timing looks like and what the roles that they might be stepping into, I think, is to be determined. But tonight we've got Walker starting, and you know, the last one wasn't as clean as the one before, and he was great in San Diego. He was great against Philadelphia, and in those playoff environments, we've seen him at his best. So, you know, we're looking forward to what he's going to bring tonight.
Before we let you go, I got to ask you, because you know how sports talk radio works. We have.
You told me you guys were an easy audience. Hold on.
We have.
Here it comes. Well, it's gone well so far, right?
Yeah, here it comes. Here it comes.
Is right.
No, you know, we have 4 hours every day, and we watched a baseball game, and we react to it. And part of the reaction from us or the fan base might be looking back to the trade deadline, what coulda, shoulda, woulda happened there. Do you do that? Do you look back to the trade deadline and say what coulda, shoulda, even if it's in the shower, I don't know, regret after the game, the ride home, do you look back and look at it a certain way?
Well, I think it's natural to replay decisions and opportunities and think about how you may have approached them differently. And that's not to say that you aren't also happy with an outcome, right?
Right.
We've got Dustin Main, you know, you said he's, you know, two really good starts in back-to-back outings, and you know, Steven Matz has been really good for us out of the pen. But of course, you kind of play these situations out and you think about, you know, what you could have done differently, and maybe sometimes the answer is nothing, but other times, you know, you hope that there's something that you can learn so that when you're in this position again, you can achieve the desired outcome there.
Craig Breslow, the Chief Baseball Officer for the Boston Red Sox, appreciate you joining us, talking about the Jimmy Fund, how important this is this day. I don't know if you noticed, they were updating the tote board behind you while you were speaking, and I made a wow face because we're up to $4.471 million.
Wow.
We are approaching record numbers here on the Jimmy Fund Telethon. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll be back after this.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy Stevens back here at the Jimmy Fund Telethon at Fenway Park, presented by Arbella, which is appropriate because now we are joined by Gail O'Connell, Executive Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer at Arbella. Gail, this has been quite a couple days, and obviously you guys are very much involved. You've seen the tote board. We're up in $4.4 million, coming up on $4.5 million.
Crazy, yeah.
Close to records are on the horizon, and it's not over. You know, it goes through the Red Sox game tonight. So if you want to keep donating, we'll take everything you can give, 877-738-1234. But why was it important? Why is it important for Arbella, for you guys to be involved with the Jimmy Fund Telethon?
So Arbella is located in Quincy. We have over 1,000 employees across the state, some in Connecticut as well. And certainly, you know, our employees are touched by cancer, like some of the people we've heard today. And they've been treated through Dana-Farber. We have a great relationship with them. And, you know, whatever we can do to help and to help the cause and, you know, research and just to take care of people. So it aligns with who Arbella is, right? We're relationship focused. We care about people, and that we've been doing this with Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund for 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And you personally, I mean, you have like a little got a fan group here. They all love.
Yeah.
I can
Entourage.
Tell you are important to a lot of people. Just you've toured in the hospital. You've heard talk to patients. Just the impact that this telethon has had on you.
So I think personally, I lost my dad to cancer as well. And you hear the stories of hope, and you see people like the woman that was here before with their kids, and it's touching, it's emotional, and, you just know your money is going to help those people.
You know, Massachusetts, Boston, New England, whatever, the whole area, like, has such an incredibly generous spirit, even though I know we get a reputation for being hard-nosed and, being as tough as the weather and everything else. But, like, to me, what you're talking about and why you choose to be so charitable and be involved in this, that speaks to the South Shore, speaks to the whole entire Boston and Massachusetts mindset. And it's important that it gets celebrated on days like this, especially when we're doing such good work.
I think when, in your small state, you see the impact of donations, you see the impact of volunteerism. We have a charitable foundation, and we have employees out volunteering with all kinds of charities. And what we see particularly now is that local charities in particular are not getting the donations, certainly with all of the budget cuts. So we feel it's our job, because we live here, we work here, to help however we can, whether it's, through volunteerism or donations, food drives, whatever it is.
It's in the tagline. It's, Arbella here for insurance, here for good. You got to do the good part.
That was no accident.
I didn't think so.
One of the words that has popped up a lot over the last couple of days talking to patients and families is trust. And I think people trust Arbella to be there for them when they need them in a time of need. And the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, certainly there is a trust. We've heard so many patients that just said, I arrived, I talked to whoever my doctor was going to be, and immediately said, you got it, doc. You're the best. I trust you.
Yeah.
How much is that trust relationship important?
Oh, it's big. I mean, we work through independent agents. Since an advice, you have to trust the person who's taking care of or helping you take care of the assets that you own, or make sure if a disaster happens that you're there. So it's so important.
That's a great point, though, Andy, to kind of compare the two. I've had to deal with insurance, and I'm grateful. I'll be honest, because maybe years ago it wasn't always this way.
Yep.
But just to be able to talk to somebody when you're really worried that you might not have the money to cover for some damages, that the people on the other end of the line feel like they are right. They care and are trying to get through the process with you. Let me ask you. We were talking a little bit about just your fandom in sports, and Arbella is. Do you feel it's important, kind of through the arms of the local sports team, that you can do these charitable things that you do through the prism of the local sports teams?
So we have been working directly with sports teams. We were at one point the official auto insurance partner of the Boston Celtics. We've worked in and around the Red Sox, certainly through WEEI, the Bruins. Sports resonates with people, and it reaches across all demographics, younger, older, male, female. It hits all across New England. Those are our customers. So I think, people get around sports. If you hate your team, you're going to tune into you guys and listen to everyone complain.
Yep. And if you love them, you're going to watch them,
too. It's the same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
And if it's sunny outside, we'll find a way. Don't worry about it. But, it's funny you mention that, because the sports does has such a powerful emotional connection. Like, Derek Lowe joined us the last hour from the 2004 Red Sox. That makes you think 2004 Red Sox. That makes you think of where you were when they won and who you were with and how much that meant to you and, who the Patriots played the next week with Ted, like during those incredible high times. Who's your favorite? And speaking of which, just who's your favorite team, and what's your favorite Boston sports memory?
Not saying this because of Teddy. I love the Patriots. I mean, the last couple of years have been rough. I am so excited about this season. I mean, I love all of the teams, but I'm a big Pats fan.
Yeah. I could have used your insurance policies the way I treated my fan cave a couple times in the last few years.
And what we were joking about it, you're a passionate sports fan, which means if you're from Boston, you have, strong opinions, good and bad sometimes. What's your hottest sports take right now about Boston sports?
I'm worried about Red Sox pitching right now.
Oh, you could have just talked to the guy that was...
Yeah. Where'd Craig Breslow go?
She'd like a Breslow
word. I need to talk to him.
She would like a word.
Yeah. I can't understand how a closer can only pitch one inning and not be available the next night.
Please.
So that's frustrating. So worried about pitching a little bit. I don't know. This team is, I don't know where they're going. You have so much hope that they'll make the playoffs, but
Well, now we know the face when we see, oh, Gail from Quincy's on the line.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, I go by an alias.
Oh, yeah. That's smart. Smart.
Always have a burner.
Do.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got to ask you. You sat down, and this is like Billy Madison. A large check was put in front of us. Can you tell us what that check says and what it's all about?
So Arbella is making a donation today of $100,000.
Wow.
So I know that that will help towards
hitting
that record. So that's through the generosity of Arbella's Insurance Foundation.
$100,000.
Wow. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah. So if you didn't hear, we were at 4,471,000.
You were worried we were going to get to 4 million.
I was worried, but we're well past 4 million. With that 100,000, quick math, that's 4.5 million plus. Plus, the phone lines are still open, 877-738-1234. You can still text any amount to KCancer 56512. You can go online if you want to do it at jimmyfund.org. We're rolling around. Now I'm looking towards records. I know the record was 4.9 million, I believe, in 2008. We've blown past 4.5 million. Let's go for $5 million.
Why not?
Right?
Five. Let's
do it. So the Red Sox are going for a fifth World Series trophy, hopefully this year. We can go for $5 million. Mm-hmm. Numbers, there's a numerology thing. Let's go for that, right?
I think we start a pool.
Yes.
If we start a pool, I'd go over five.
Absolutely. Let's go. Over five plus $5 million.
Yep.
Well, Gail, we appreciate everything you do. We appreciate everything that Arbella does. Yep. We were joking. You guys are woven into the sports world here. Yeah. Arbella Early Edition, the Jimmy Fund Telethon. Arbella's part of our sports world. We really do appreciate the check and everything you do for the Red Sox. And
we appreciate all you do, particularly now. It's so important. So thank you very much for having us on
today.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That music means we're just about done, but the telethon is not done. Red Sox play tonight. It'll go through the rest of the broadcast. We're at over $4.5 million. We would love to get over $5 million. Please help. Anything you can donate will help. Text KCancer to 56512. WEEI Afternoons. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 6, with regular sports talk. Maybe Gail will join us.
Yeah, we'll have her on. Gail from Quincy. At least
and hopefully a record.
See you guys.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.